I thought it was going to be a dubstep there for a second. I was like, ooh. How about them Commanders? Just you guys, huh? The rest of them are like, Ravens fans over there on this side. So good morning, everybody. So good you're here. I'm so glad. I know it's cold outside, and so we're going to have inside recess today. And just like thumbs up, seven up, we're going to play a little bit of a game this morning. It's a simple game. It's one I know you all excel at, and it's called Hollywood or Holy Scripture, okay? And yeah, it's a, here's how the game goes. I'm going to tell you the plot of a story. All you need to do is tell me, after I've told the plot of the story, if this is from Hollywood, something Hollywood thought up, or is this Holy Scripture. Are you ready to play? Yeah. All right, no prizes. So just so you know, from the get-go. All right, first story. Okay, this first story has a hero in it. Lots of stories have heroes in it. But this is a particularly awesome hero, right? And he's good looking, he's smart, everybody loves him, he's a lot like me, everybody in the kingdom loves this guy, right? Except for the evil king. Now, the evil king at one time loved him. But because he's so awesome, he got really jealous of him. And he's like, man, I've got to figure out a way to kill this guy. And so the young hero, he has no idea what's going on, but he knows that he wants to marry the daughter of the king. He's like, I would love to marry her. He goes to the king. He says, king, can I marry your daughter? And he's like, let me think about that. He says, yeah, okay, all right. So here's what I need you to do. If you want to marry my daughter, you have to prove you're loyal to me. To me, I want you to go out and vanquish my enemies. And he's like, sweet, no problem. That's what I do. Your enemies are my enemies. I'm all in. Let's do this. And he goes, okay, one more thing. And see, what he doesn't know is that when he sends him out, he's going to be greatly outnumbered, and our hero's probably going to get killed. But he says, one more thing. I want you to do one more thing for me. So I want you, after you kill them, to bring back proof. And he says, okay, what kind of proof do you want me to bring back? And he says, I want you to bring back 100 foreskins. I know, right? An everyday request for a hero. Bring back 100 foreskins. He's like, okay, I can do that. So he goes out, and he vanquishes the enemies. That's right, he doesn't die. He kills all of them. He not only brings back 100 foreskins, he brings back 200 foreskins. And they put them all in a big pile in front of the king. And the king says, well, I guess you get to marry my daughter now. So is this Hollywood or is this Holy Scripture? Yeah, right? I mean, they've made a lot of movies about King David, but thankfully they've never filmed that scene because you don't want to be the prop guy on that, so. Maybe it was CGI, I don't know. I think I'll pass on that movie. Okay, here's one. This one's kind of tricky, but okay, here it is. You got two characters, right? And they're on a journey, because everybody's always on a journey in stories. They're on a journey to go see the king. And there's the main character and his sidekick. So there's the sidekick is interesting, though. The sidekick is a talking donkey who's really sassy, talks back, won't obey the main character. So is this Hollywood or is this Holy Scripture? No, it's both. It's both, isn't it? Now, the stories aren't anything like except for they both have talking donkeys in it. But on one side, you got Shrek, right? That's right. And in the Old Testament, you got Balaam and his talking donkey. And, you know, it's when you read the story about Balaam and his talking donkey, the interesting thing is you would think, like, Balaam would be like, dude, my donkey is all of a sudden talking. But he doesn't. He just, like, starts having an argument with him. And you're reading, you're going, what in the heck, right? So anyway, that was a trick question. Last one's real easy. There's this guy who's revered. He's kind of a wizard. He can see the future. You know, he has prophetic visions, that kind of thing. And he's just minding his own business. He's walking through the forest one day, and all of a sudden, these ruffians, these kids, these young men come out of the woods, and they start calling him names, and they call him Baldy. I mean, which is a horrible thing to call somebody, right? Hey, they say, hey, you Baldy man, and that's all. They just call him Baldy over and over, and it obviously gets to him. He gets very angry, And he turns to these young men and he calls down a curse upon the young men. And when he does that, two bears come out of the woods and maul 47 of them to death. So is this Hollywood or Holy Scripture? Yeah, kind of seems like an unnecessary escalation, doesn't it? Wow. But that, let that be a lesson to you young men with your glorious locks, that one day you too will be follicularly challenged and get cooked like those boys did. Did I say that right? They got cooked? No? Okay, well, I'll stop. So, you know, I've always wanted to write a book about the stories in the Old Testament. And so for years, every time I go through the Old Testament, I have this yellow legal pad. And I every time I come across one of these stories, and I always come across a new one, I write it down because the Old Testament just has the greatest stories in it. And so I hope that you can get to the point where you love to read the Old Testament as well. My name is Brian, by the way. I'm one of the pastors here at the Mount. And we're continuing this week the series that you saw, that the juice is worth the squeeze. And we're talking about spiritual habits. And spiritual habits aren't always easy to do. We can do things that aren't good for us real easy. You know, we can get addicted to alcohol or whatever. But doing things that are good for us is really hard, despite the fact that they have much better implications for our lives than the bad habits do. And last week, Pastor Adam was talking about fasting. Did anybody in here fast? You guys are just all so hungry, you can't raise your hand up anymore. You just, oh. And, you know, he said that fasting from something in our life reveals what controls us, the idols that we have in our lives. And, for example, if you fasted, I know some people who fasted from social media. And all of you are fasting from TikTok moving forward. But all right, a few bits of applause for our fight against the Chinese communists, so thank you for that. So some of you have realized that social media has a lot of control in your life, and fasting from it has not been easy. And fasting from food is usually difficult for everybody, but for some people who like to snack, who maybe binge or have some struggles with food or other things that they're fasting from, it really reveals the space that those things occupy in our lives that should instead be occupied for God. So hopefully during this fasting journey, if you haven't already started it, if you're going to do one moving forward, you'll realize that it's a great time that you get to spend with God, because you have to keep going to him and asking for you for strength and for courage to get through the time of fasting. And this week, we're going to talk about a new habit for some of you, a new spiritual habit that we want you to develop, and that's reading the Bible. And hey, I get it. Reading is hard. I know, just asking around, most people can't remember the last book they read cover to cover. And if they have, it's because it might have been the only book that they read in the last 12 minutes or 12 months. And I get it, because you know, reading takes time. It's not like listening to a book. You have to sit down, you open it up and read it. And reading when you're made to read is even harder. Like, you got this pastor guy standing up here on stage telling you to go read your Bible. It's hard. I get it. When you were in high school, I remember being in high school and having to read the Great Gatsby. And I hated it. I mean, I hated this book. I hated the fact that I read it. I hated the fact that I had to write a paper about it. But later on, when I was in my 20s, I went back and I read that book and I loved it. And what I realized is I'm not that much more mature. I'm not that much more wise. It's just that this is something I want to do. I want to read this. And because of that, I was able to enjoy it. And that's the point we want to get to with reading the Bible. But reading the Bible comes with even more challenges than reading just man-made literature, right? You've got 66 books written over a period of 1,500 years, 40 different authors, and there's all different kinds of literature, right? You've got letters, you've got prophetic literature, you've got wisdom literature, you've got poetry and psalms, you've got all this stuff, and so you can't read like the psalms the same way you read the letters. You have to know what kind of literature that you're reading when you're reading the Bible. So I get it, it's very, very hard, but if you can get to the point, and it's going to take some effort from each and every person, if you can get to the point where you love to read the Bible, you'll find out that the juice is worth the squeeze. Today, I want to give you some reasons why I think we should spend some time, all the time, every day, as much as we can, reading the Bible. Hopefully, you'll learn to love to read the Bible. And then at the end, we'll kind of, after we give you these reasons, I'll give you some resources to help you in your journey. You know, there's an amazing thing about the Bible is that it's not like any man-made book. I mean, man-made books, they can make you cry and laugh, and you know, they can be wise. They can give you wisdom, but none of them are the Word of God, and none of them can spiritually mature you to be more like Christ. None of them, because none of them have power. The Word of God is not just words on a page. We call it the only book that reads you because it does that. When you're interacting with Scripture, it's reading you back. And that's the Holy Spirit working through you to understand what it is that Scripture is trying to impart to you. So the first reason we read the Bible is because it is that. It is God's Word. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we see that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All right, let's cut this up a little. Let's break it up. So the first part, that all Scripture is God-breathed. What do we mean when we say that all Scripture is God-breathed? Well, one of the things that we mean is that it's inerrant. And inerrant, just a fancy word to say that what God says in Scripture, everything he affirms in Scripture is true, okay? It's without error or fault. Everything that was in the original manuscripts is God-breathed. It's God-inspired. So we have that because it's God's Word. It's what he wanted us to have. If he wanted us to have different books, if he wanted us to have more books, if he wanted us to add the Book of Mormon, slap that onto the end, he would have given it to us, but he did not. So what we have today is God's Word, completely true. Not only is it God-breathed, inspired, it's a really practically useful book. It's just filled with things that we can use right now and here today. Furthermore, the Bible reveals God's character. It reveals his will. And finally, it reveals his plan for humanity. What we know about his character? What do we know about his character? He's truthful. He's all-loving. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. All these things that we know about God because of his word. Right? And we get to see when we're watching or reading in the Bible, we get to see how he enacts his will in the lives of human beings. We get to see his entire plan for humanity. It's all here from the very beginning, from before he even created the universe. It's just there, there, the always existing Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then he creates the universe, right? And then he picks a group of people out of all the peoples of the world and says, I will be your God and you will be my people. I have a plan for you. And then his son comes along and then we have that and then his son dies. But at the end, we know that's not the end of the story because it goes all the way to the end, the Bible does. It goes when this world goes away, and a new creation comes, and we will live forever with him in eternity. That's God's plan, and we see that in his word. Now, I get it. Like I said, I understand reading is hard, and reading the Holy Scriptures can be very, very challenging, especially when you're faced with passages that you're reading, and you're like, don't understand this, but I can't see how this could possibly apply to my life. I'll give you an example of it. Here's a verse from the book of Exodus. And it's two lines, two sentences. The first sentence is really straightforward, but the second sentence gets a little bit, here you go. Bring the best of the first fruits of your land to the house of the Lord your God. That's easy to understand. You bring the first fruits, you bring your tithe, you bring your offering, you bring your gift of whatever God has blessed you with, you bring it to the temple to share with God's people. Super easy to understand. Second sentence, hold on to your hats. You must not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. that seems like the kind of thing you wouldn't have to tell a person, right? But since it's in the Bible, God probably had to put it in there because somebody did. And that person was probably French. So when you are faced with a difficult passage like this, and you're like, I would never even think of doing something like that. Don't just skip over it, okay? Because believe it or not, like I said, God's word has power. And even in a sentence like that, he might have something to tell you about himself or about you. So take a minute. When you're in a quandary of what something means, take a minute. Just take a minute. Clear your head. Ask God to clear your heart and to become ready to receive what he wants to impart towards you, to you. And you'll be amazed that even in the most esoteric passages, like ones like that right there, God will speak, and he will speak to you. So we read the word of God because it's God's word. The second reason we should read scripture, and I alluded to this a little bit earlier, is because it's a guide for how to live life correctly. Scripture says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." Holy Scripture shows us how God wants us to live, and it, like I said, is just full of little tidbits of practical advice. For example, we've talked about this one: love your neighbors as yourselves. Very practical bit of advice. It has great implications for you in your life if you do that, and for how others behave towards you. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Being trustworthy is a good thing. It's how he wants us to be. It's a practical way to live your life. Ephesians 4:32 encourages us to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. If you hold something against somebody, if somebody has done something to you and you're rightfully mad at them, you can hold on to that hate, that anger, or you can forgive them because Christ forgave you while you are still in sins for everything you've ever done. And you will find that this is practical advice, because as you forgive people, you begin to heal. And they begin to heal. And the relationship can come back together. So not only is this practical advice, but I'm going to tell you what, this is more important. And as you get deeper into the Word of God and as you mature as a believer, you will see that there's often more than this just on the surface. What we see here in this passages, these verses, is a glimpse into the mind of God, to the character of God, to the things he values. He wants you, he wants all of us to love one another, because he knows that we were all created in his image and are deserving of love. He wants us to be trustworthy and faithful as he is perfectly trustworthy and faithful. He wants us to encourage one another, to teach one another, to hold up one another. And the reason that he does this is because he wants to help us grow in him, to emulate him, to be more like him. His word shows us who he is and how he wants us to live. Which brings us right into the third reason. The Bible is a source of comfort and strength. It really, really is. For whatever was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scripture and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. The word of God, it says, was written in the past so that we today might have hope. When you first start reading the Bible, even if you're the type of person who likes to read and you're thinking, ugh, it's hard, I don't understand the text, or, you know, I mean, I don't see how this applies to me, or maybe you just don't even like to read, so there's a frustration with that, or maybe it's just because, and I've been this still happens to me today, maybe you just have a hardened heart, maybe you've decided that, oh, I've got to read the Bible this year, and so I have to read it today, and you're approaching Scripture in the wrong way, and so because of all that, you can't envision how God's word can ever be a source your go-to source of strength and comfort. But I'm here to tell you today, and you have to believe me, if you're not there yet, that's exactly what it's there for. When your soul is troubled, when the world is beating you down, when you need a safe harbor to just sail into and let the storm's clouds pass over, there is no place to find safe harbor than in His Word. And it's always there and it's abiding and you can trust in it. If you're not at that place yet where when you've got a tough call to make, when you have a difficult choice to make, know this. Scripture is there for you to go and find the right way forward. And the great thing is you can go back to it after you've got your answer to ask God for the strength to be able to stand firm in His Word and make that tough decision no matter what may come. His Word should be our source and our comfort. And a final reason we should read our Bible is found in 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. When you first start reading the Bible, you're probably a baby, right? You're a newborn. You're born again. And just like babies, they got to have milk. They can't go right into eating steak. The same thing is with you when you're first beginning to read the Bible, when you're first becoming what we call a Christian, when you open the book, you need milk. You're not going to be able to just jam on over to Leviticus and start reading the laws and going, I get it. It's not going to happen. You're more than likely going to just go into the book of John, straightforward, and it talks about God's love over and over for us and tells the story of the gospel. So you start with milk. And you move on to solid foods. And that's what the Bible is here to do. And that's what these spiritual habits, all of these spiritual habits that we're talking about, are there to help us mature and grow to be more Christ-like. That's what His Word is for. To help us along our journey. In summary, we see that we should read the Word of God because it's that. It's God's Word. I mean, how amazing is that? Just think about that for a minute. Of all the things that could have happened that didn't happen so that we can sit here so many thousands of years later and actually have God's Word at our fingertips. Up until the last few hundred years, you couldn't even get a copy of the Bible. Now you can read it in thousands of different languages and thousands of more to come and different translations. It's right there at your fingertips, ready for you to open it up. It's God's Word, and it gives practical advice. It shows us who God is. It is a profound source of strength and of comfort, and it is the primary mechanism by which we become more Christ-like. But I'm not just, I know that some of you are sitting there, yeah, maybe I'll give it a try, but listen, we're not just telling you to read. We want to help you learn how to read the Bible because I know it's tough. And there's tons of resources out there that will just help you along your journey, no matter where you're at in your journey. And if you go to the Mount app, that's one of the places you can go, right there at the bottom right-hand screen, I think it is, like or yonder. It says resources. You can click on that resource button. And Susan, our discipleship person, has put lots of stuff in there just to help you get started. And I'm going to give you a few pointers here today, but that's also a great place to go. So before you start reading the Bible, one of the things I think everybody needs to do is consider the translation that you're reading, okay? If you've never read the Bible before, there's not just one translation of it, okay? There are lots of different translations in lots of different languages, and some of them on one end of the scale are very literal, and they're really difficult, except for Bible scholars, for people to understand, all right? They're very literal. And on the other end, you have these, what they're called paraphrase versions, which are really easy to understand, but when it comes to whether or not they're giving you actual scripture, it gets a little jinky. So you want to kind of get here in the middle, and that's what we put up on the screen. We choose one that's kind of in the middle because we think that we feel that it balances both ends of the spectrum with readability, with the truth of God, and right here in the middle. And you don't have to pick this version, but we do. It's the NIV version, and I think it's a very easy version. And if you're just starting to read, it's probably best, like I said, you just crack it open to the book of John in the New Testament, and you can just go. So find a good translation before you get going. And also, I should say this, before you crack it open, pray. Absolutely. Pray. And you don't have to pray. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. You can just say, God, clear my mind. Open my heart. All right? Let your word dwell in me richly. And you open it up and you begin to read. And sometimes you read and right away a line will jump at you. Other times maybe you have to read for 5 or 10 minutes or whatever it may be on your reading plan. But something will happen during that time where God, because his word dwells in us richly, God will begin to speak to you. Even through the oil and the goat milk line, he might speak to you. All right? So, and once he does, don't just stop there. Just go, okay, got it. Stop. You've got to reflect on what it is that God has said. Okay, how does this apply to me, God? Is this something you want me to do? Is this something you want me to stop doing? What is it? You see, it's this interaction, it's this pull, it's this active reading. You're not just sitting there letting the words gloss by you. You're actually reading and feeling, and God is speaking to you at the same time. And that's when you get to that point, that's when you really start to love to read scripture because you feel like it's a conversation that you're having with the God Almighty. And it is, in a lot of ways, what's happening. And you don't do it by yourself. No. You were so lucky to be here on our small group day because the lobby is just full of people who want to study the Bible with you. And that's what we used to call them before we called them small groups. We called them Bible studies. That's not all that goes on there. But when you get in there, you have an opportunity with people just like yourselves and maybe people who are wiser than you, or maybe you have the ability to speak with people who are newer in Christ with you, but you're all going to come together and you're going to talk about what Scripture is doing in your life. There's a great women's series that's going to be this month, this semester, and it's on the book of Esther, one of my favorite books in the entire Old Testament, in fact, in the entire Bible. And you're going to get an opportunity, if you want to go really deep in it. And it's a really straightforward story, right? You can just read it just for the story, and it's an awesome story. They could definitely make a Hollywood movie out of it. In fact, they have. But there's much, much more there. And the more mature you get as a Christian, the deeper you get as a believer, the more you will get out of it, not just because you understand Scripture better, but because you're continuing a conversation with God. I've got one final story to tell you, but I'm going to tell you from the get-go. It's from Holy Scripture, and it is the greatest story that has ever been told because it affects every single person who's ever lived, and that is the story of the gospel, and quite simply, it's this. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, is sent by the Father to become a man. He's born in a manger to a virgin. He lives a perfectly sinless life. He preaches. He dies on the cross so that he can be a martyr. No, not so he can be a martyr, but for a very much more profound reason. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And it goes on to say, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through him. Hollywood might be able to write a story like that given enough time, but only God makes it true. Because it's his word. It says so right in here. And if you're a Christian, you also know this. You not only know that it's because it's in here, because it's God's word, you can believe it. But because you are a Christian, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And because of that, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And you know it's true, not just because it's written down, but because it lives in you. And that when you're reading the scripture, you feel it come alive. You feel the power of God. And there are people in this room, there are people online who haven't gotten to that point yet. We're going to give you a chance here in a second. And I want to tell you something. Listen, you don't have to be a believer to read the Bible, and you can still get a lot out of it. It can be entertaining at times. It can make you laugh. It can make you cry. You can see a lot of great advice in there. But once the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, once you become a Christian, once you've said yes to Jesus being your Lord and Savior, the Bible opens up. And you find there's so much more than you could ever hope for. You can read it every day for the rest of your life and not plumb its depths. Because God's love, His wisdom, and His plan for humanity stretches beyond our understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We want to learn to love, to read your word, to desire its strength, its comfort, to go to it over and over and over again. We want to pray for those people who haven't made that decision right now. And I know there are people even in this room who are thinking, yeah, I'm done trying this my way. Who am I? Here's this God who understands the whole plan of humanity. Maybe he's got a better idea of how to live my life. If that's you, if you're ready to give your life to Christ, if you're ready to be able to read the Bible as more than just a book, if you're ready to have Scripture read you, if you're ready to have the power of God live in you, I just ask you to do something really simple. It's very easy. You don't have to jump through any hoops. All you have to do is say, God, let thy will be done, not mine. I accept your Son as my Lord and Savior. And that's it. It's as easy as that, and you start this journey. We've all been there. We've all been at this moment where we're scared to do it. We're like, is anybody watching me? Well, nobody's watching. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. If that's you, if you made that decision, you can mash that button online if you're watching online, or you can just raise your hand up. And the only reason we want to raise your hand up is because we want to put some resources in that hand of yours. And if somebody doesn't get to you, that's not a problem. You can go to our website. You can come down here. There'll be people to pray with you. Lord, thank you for those people who are saying yes to you for the first time. And thank you for your Son, who is the Word incarnate, who is the reason that we can spend eternity with you meditating on your word and your glory. We love you, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.